And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Detroit Tigers have won 3 in a row, got things back on track. We had a real rough little go there, but back up 9 games in division. Need to pick up some pieces before trading deadline. That's why I
got some work to do.
Got some work to do. The deadline is just shoot.
I think it's tomorrow.
Deadline's tomorrow. Yeah. Let's go. Let's pick it up.
Eyes peeled on the Tigers today then. Need to have that have those moves ready to go.
We'll see what happens.
Ian Safar, what's going on? How we doing?
Oh, doing great. How are you guys? How was camp yesterday, Joe? Pads, hit them pads, huh?
Yeah.
Smacking.
Just really, really great practice.
Glad to hear it.
It was awesome.
Outstanding.
Awesome. I will say, good crowd. I was impressed with the Titan fan turnout yesterday.
That's good.
Yeah. On a very, very hot day. So that was good to see.
Well, and we know, you know, the football season, it begins tomorrow. There's a game tomorrow.
Yeah, there is.
In the National Football League. Hall of Fame game between the Chargers and the Lions, which every time the Hall of Fame game comes around, it's a yearly tradition. We get to see that fake punt that the Titans pulled off in 2009, which I guess apparently is the greatest moment in the history of the Hall of Fame game. I mean, they show it every year they start trying to promote this thing.
What other moments might be on?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you another single moment from the Hall of Fame game.
The time when the field turf got all messed up. What time was
it? And they couldn't play the game?
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago, wasn't it?
That's right.
And they had that big guy Baker on the TV.
Yeah. Hey, see, Ian's
There's
all in
two.
The Hall of Fame.
There's
game.
Two.
There we go.
Nice. One of them involving
no game.
Game, yeah. I'm excited. Trey Lance, I'm interested. I mean, I kind of forgot. I had no idea he was with the Chargers. Apparently he's starting it. And I do hope that Hendon Hooker gets at least half the game with the Lions, and I'm not done. I am not conceding on Hendon Hooker at this point. I understand that not much has gone on here with him, but I'm not conceding that he can't be a good player in the NFL, so I'm very interested to see if he can put together a good performance.
I mean, based on last year and what he did in the preseason, like Trey Lance playing in the preseason could be – pretty interesting. Remember that game last year where he threw for like 300 yards and also threw for five interceptions?
He was throwing picks all over the place.
Picks everywhere. It's like, wow, you never know what's going to happen when Trey Lance drops back to throw the football.
It sounds more entertaining than most preseason football.
I mean, I have no idea what the Lions are going to do, but if it's Lance versus Hooker for the majority of the game, okay, that's better than some of the Hall of Fame games we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about obviously a guy who went at the top of the draft, another guy who, you know, ended up going third round, but nearly a Heisman winner, certainly should have been a Heisman finalist. You know what's funny is I was thinking, doing a different story on like related to LSU, and I was thinking about, God, man, that day at Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, it was Hendon Hooker against Jaden Daniels, and the Vols just destroyed LSU. Now, a lot of that had nothing to do with Jaden Daniels, but like at that point, despite that, it didn't have much. Like at that point, there's not a person in the world who would have said Jaden Daniels is a better NFL prospect than Hendon Hooker. Not a person in the world.
Yeah. It's amazing how things can change.
It is.
Here was a stat last year from that game. So the Cowboys played the Chargers. So Trey Lance with the Cowboys in the preseason. 33 of 49. They threw the ball 49 times in a preseason game for 323 yards. 90 yards on the ground and a touchdown and 5 picks.
I mean,
he threw for 323 yards, ran for almost 100, and threw 5 picks.
That's just fun.
It's unbelievable.
That's just a lot of fun, is what that is.
More of that, Trey.
Yeah.
Get it going at the Hall of Fame game.
Let's see some more of it. My goodness.
So, if you've been waiting for football to start, technically, I guess tomorrow, it does. So, be ready for that. We'll keep you updated. I'm sure Retro is going to be locked into every snap of the Hall of Fame game coming up tomorrow.
I know that, you know, before kid number two, you know, he's a couple weeks from moving off to college. The TV will be on the Lions.
Oh, I have no doubt.
A mighty team that will not yield.
Joe, some news, some tragic news that we did not touch on yesterday, and since it went down a couple days ago, more information has now come out. There was a gunman in Manhattan that unfortunately has killed four people. But apparently, Joe, according to the reporting around this and from the officials, he was targeting the headquarters of the NFL. So he went into an office building where the headquarters of the NFL are, apparently took the wrong elevator, which is what the official said yesterday, and then went on a shooting spree there that ended up in the result of the death of four people. So obviously, you know, that in NFL circles, that has made the rounds yesterday of people discussing that. You know, apparently this shooter claimed that he had CTE and wanted his brain to be looked at after all this. So there's a lot that also goes into that part of it as well. But obviously a really scary and tragic situation in Manhattan with all this and the NFL offices being involved.
Yeah, terrible. You know, the CTE claim, he asked for his brain to be studied. He had a 3-page note. He mentioned Terry Long, who died by suicide in 2005, diagnosed after his death with CTE. He also mentioned a documentary on, the direct quote from the note is, quote, "Study my brain, please. I'm sorry." And, you know, he's in this building with an assault rifle. So four, very tragic, four people killed, including a police officer. I will, you know, I mean, credit to someone we've talked about on this show before in a less crediting way, but Dave Portnoy, I see, is like raising a lot of money for the police officer's family, which is, you know, great to see, but just a terrible situation bringing together two things that are frequent stories in this country, which is gun violence and CTE in football. So scary stuff, and I know Roger Goodell is scary and tragic stuff. And Roger Goodell, I guess, is keeping their office closed at least through the end of next week.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm not an expert. I don't know how they ended up determining that he got on the wrong elevator there. I'm sure there's some security footage and all this other stuff that they saw, but just kind of crazy stuff there. And you know, regardless of where he was going, the death of four people is just awful there. So.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of things, you know, a couple of young women who are like young lawyers, you know, just trying to go to work. So, but obviously the football connection there, I mean, I'm sure more will come of this in the days to come too.
Yep. So just wanted to pass along the latest on that because that has been a major story around not only the NFL, but around our country the last couple of days. So that's the latest info that we've got on that. We'll keep you up to date if anything else should come out about that situation as well. Joe was out at practice yesterday for the Titans. We're going to get into several of his observations and what he saw out at what was apparently a not very good day from the offense and Cam Ward yesterday. I know, you know, I heard a little bit of D-Mace yesterday, and he talked about Cam Ward and the processing and how basically it looked like he was playing at college speed and that was going to be a problem if that continued, which, of course, Joe, led to basically 4 hours of Stilly yesterday screaming about Cam Ward and how the processing's slow, and if it continues to go down that way, the Titans need to put him on the bench and start Brandon Allen next year, which generated a lot of reaction. But we're going to get, you know, kind of step by step into what you saw yesterday, but just generally, as we get started on that conversation, what did you make of Cam Ward and the offense yesterday, and how concerning was it?
Yeah, I probably had two big takeaways, and the obvious one is that one. And yeah, I guess I would agree with D-Mace. I mean, there were a few things that happened in some of these plays. Cam Ward was bad. No question. He was bad yesterday. First day in pads. Now, I know I don't remember if this one resulted in a pick or it was almost a pick. It looked like Chig was supposed to sit down against the zone and thought maybe they were in man. He kept running a route. And so I think that may have been the issue on one. But, yeah, he was late. He was off target. I thought he made a couple of good decisions on late ball or on deep balls, and he just overthrew him. He just overshot him. And then, you know, there was one where he's going on a deep out to Josh Wiley, and it's just – he's just late with it, and it's just an easy pick. And I forget who got the pick, but you know, it was just one of those. Just see the ball and just cut in front and easy pick. It was just like, man, that's a bad one. And just off target on some other throws too that you got to have. I mean, I think that's another thing. Beyond the mistakes and giving the ball away, which obviously you don't want to do, but picks in camp with quarterback, especially a rookie, you expect some of that. Just some of the stuff he was off target on was surprising too. It's like just some kind of gimme throws. One day, I mean, if that was my only time watching Cam Ward, I wouldn't think he was very good, you know. But it's one day of practice, and I will say that certainly yesterday, and you know, this is all decided by the coaching staff, so it'll be interesting today if they do it differently. But certainly yesterday, Brian Callahan said, Denard Wilson, let it rip. Send different stuff. Go ahead. Throw the kitchen sink at the rookie. And they did. They were bringing pressure from all over the place. They were moving guys all over the place. And that was certainly part of it. You could tell. I mean, it was affecting him. And there were times when I think that he was confused. Maybe what he saw pre-snap wasn't what he saw right after the snap. So yep. It was one of those, yep. Baptism by fire days for a rookie quarterback.
So not a very good day at camp yesterday and the first day of pads for Cam Ward. We'll take your thoughts on that. We'll get Rex Rhodes' thoughts a little deeper in what he saw and what we think it means for Cam Ward as he moves forward here. We'll get into all that next. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam Ward, apparently not very good at Titans training camp yesterday. Rex Road was out there. We'll get some of his thoughts and observations. Here's what PK said yesterday. Said Cam Ward had some nice moments at the stadium on Saturday, and he had some bad moments at practice on Tuesday. It's a young quarterback going through the ups and downs. Advisable to expect more of the same rather than running to anoint him as something that he's not. Not yet, anyway. That's from Kuharski yesterday on Twitter. You know, we've talked about this a lot. There are probably going to be some days in camp where he looks pretty darn good, and probably going to be some days in camp that he looks bad. Was yesterday, you think, just one of those days, or is there more to it that you're concerned about after having watched it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those days. I think today is pretty important. Just you don't want to like have triple pick days back to back, right? So I think today is important to kind of, you know, it's just like everything. So he's going to look at that film, and this is also, you know, actually this is where I was actually complaining yesterday on the show, and then when I was hanging out with some of the Titans writers yesterday too, I was like, it kind of sucks, right? Like that. After this, there's no Callahan.
Yeah.
You know, like Callahan talks before. I mean, when there's something that's really notable, and I think this counts in practice, and then you don't have the head coach after that. But I will say, to this morning, probably a lot of Callahan's presser will be about Cam's performance.
Correct.
And they will have gone through the film and stuff. So I guess from that perspective, maybe there could be a little bit more insight, and he will have talked to Cam. Cam also talks today, by the way, after practice.
And by the way, you can hear Brian Callahan's press conference on our show today around 7:40. I'm going to say around 7:40.
Yeah.
We'll see when it happens.
It's scheduled for 7:40. He was late yesterday, so we'll see if he can be prompt today.
We'll see.
But, yeah, you know, it was not a great day. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, my God, what have they done? That's silly. He's had good days, too. It is funny because someone on the text line here is K-Dod's like, I wish Levis would have been there to have a good day to really get, you know, Stillman all worked out. It wouldn't have just been Stone. It would have been other people. I will say this. Brandon Allen, like, looked good yesterday. So,
hey.
even like, by – and actually boiled. Like, again, what I watch was team. And, by the way, I missed the early stages of practice. We were doing the show. Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle both actually looked better than Cam Ward yesterday. But, again, let's remember – they're not running against the ones defense, et cetera, et cetera. But they got the ball out fast, and they were more accurate. So take that sample size. Cam Ward, QB3.
Yes.
Wow.
Not better than Tim Boyle.
Pick number one, one QB three yes. for the worst team in the league. Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah. It's not of course it's not anything to panic about. I think it was definitely to me, from a coaching perspective, you might be kind of like, there we go. That's perfect. Because you want to try to like shake things up and really make it tough for him and make him see, yeah, this is not going to be easy, man. Like, this is not college football. It's not at all. So some things you did in college, these dudes are going to pick you off. And by the way, that pick, it was Chig, I think, on a bad route, and it was James Williams with that pick on that play, for the record.
Well, I heard what D-Mace had to say, and again, we talked about the processing part of it. Like, I don't love to hear that, obviously. Like, if he's not processing quickly out there, that's not great. Now, he's also a rookie quarterback, and it's the first day in pads yesterday with an NFL defense. So I don't know that I'm willing to also say after one day that, oh, he just can't process at that level right now. Like, let's give it some time here. And if you respond, like, if he comes out there today and lights it up, number one, it'd be good to see him bounce back. But, like, I won't go too far the other way either. Like, I think you have to expect some of this in training camp with a rookie quarterback. That some days he's going to look pretty good, and some days it's going to be bad. And you're hoping that through the totality of it, there's pretty significant improvement there.
And I'm definitely not arguing with D-Mace on processing. I looked at it, though, a little bit more like they were aggressive. They were sending different pressures. They were jamming receivers. They were taking away option one. And so I think a lot of times just what he wanted to do was not there. And then obviously you have to be fast going to option two, and then you got pressure. I think at times it was probably a little bit more that the defense crossed him up than like just general slow processing.
Yeah.
Now, what happens from a coaching perspective on a day like today, potentially, is it's a much easier day from the defense, and it's a confidence-building day for Cam Warden. It's like, okay, I see it all. Boom, I got time. Here we go. Lasers all over the field. Like, that would be, I think, what a lot of coaches would do. So we'll see if that's what they do today or if they keep throwing the kitchen sink at him and just say, hey, let's just make it as
hard.
You got to
figure it out.
I mean, that first game is at Denver, man. There's going to be some – there are going to be people in your face in that game.
Yeah. Lenny wondering if they're selling Brandon Allen jerseys yet at the Titans Pro Shop. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm sure you can find one. If you want one, you can get you a Brandon Allen jersey.
Probably not.
Yeah. And if you get it, if it just says Allen, it could work. You know, because who is the Chargers?
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen is also, and who knows, he could end up here someday. So it could be one of those.
I think he's with Detroit.
They're both journeyman backups. Yeah. So you never know. That could work. You know, KDOT also on this does ask, and by the way, again, you guys are the ones bringing him up. I mean, like, every day on the text line, it's always like, you guys need to rip Jared for this or that. And I'm like, well, our job is not to sit here and rip Jared for everything he said. I didn't even hear it.
Sometimes we enjoy doing it. But
sure, yeah. Sometimes you do have to do it, but, like, we don't. Some people think that, like, this is our job, and you bring him up. But he asked if Stillman was at practice or was he going off of those words. Stillman was at practice. I did not see him talking to any players afterward. I did see him. He was talking for a long time. Burt Nyhill appeared to be explaining football to him for a long time on the sideline. So hopefully that'll pay off on the show, on the program.
Sure.
Maybe it did yesterday.
Maybe so. I mean, I did see TD's tweet about how maybe it's going to snow in July.
Yeah.
Jared was out there.
TD. So. TD taking swipes.
Yeah, it was
on
good.
On social media. My goodness.
It was good. Yeah, we'll see how he responds today, you know. Obviously, you don't want too many days in training camp of your number one pick at quarterback struggling to the level, which apparently he did yesterday. So we'll see if there's some level of bounce back in his game today. But, I mean, the one thing that you can look at if you're a Titans fan right now that I think you do start to raise your eyebrows at, it seems like he's throwing a lot of picks. Seems like there's a lot of interceptions that are happening in training camp right now. Again, is that the world's biggest deal at the end of the day in camp? Probably not. I think it gets overblown sometimes. But you also don't love it. Like, there's a lot of picks that are being thrown by Cam Ward right now.
Right. Like, yes. And so there are stats, and of course we can count on our buddy Jimmy Wyatt to always have the updated stats. He'll have the full, you know, stat line. And I know yesterday it was just really bad overall, too. Like, the overall numbers were bad.
Yep.
The number I would say that like in the next few weeks, you definitely would want to see like the interception rate, whatever that is. It's pretty high right now.
Yeah.
You'd like to see the interception rate go down some.
Said Cam was Cam Ward 5 of 9 and 7 on 7s and 6 of 17 in team periods, 11 of 26 in Tuesday's session, according to Jim Wyatt.
It's not very good.
Picked off 3 times.
Yeah, it's a tough day. That is a tough day, no doubt. But yeah, I agree with you. It's the picks. First of all, picks happen in camp. We've talked about it before. Yes, the year that Ryan Tannehill, as a 12th-year veteran, was throwing picks. Yes, that was just a guy. I mean, that's what he was. He was taking some risks. Didn't mean anything. Really didn't. It was the same guy that played the year before. But a rookie, that can be recognition, right? That can be just that you're not caught up to things. The game speed is too fast. All those things are possible. When it's a veteran who has skins on the wall, who has proven he play in the league, you know, I don't care at all about it. With this, you'd like to see it go down a little bit moving forward.
We'll continue to get some of Rex Rhodes' takeaway from Titans camp, including a player that we spent a whole lot of time talking about this offseason that Rex Rhodes got a hot take on. I'm looking forward to it coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in to ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Pre-game beginning at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Going through the first day of padded practice yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. Not a very good day for Cam Ward in the offense. Taking your thoughts on that at 615-737-1025. But, Joe, you had another big takeaway from Titans camp yesterday that could be very encouraging to Titans fans.
Yeah, so my biggest take from yesterday, I know Cam Ward is the focus every day, so, but I still, this is the biggest impression I got from yesterday. And it was before I even watched him take a snap, because I looked out and I said, who's wearing 98? Who's the tight end wearing 98 right now? And then I watched him take some snaps. And I think sometimes, you know, this is something. And you know what? Titans writers who are out there every day, they could disagree with me. But I do think sometimes when you – are away and it's a long period of time. You know how it is. It's like at home, you know, Katie may not totally appreciate all the iron I'm pumping. You know, I may not see how buff I am and
but
stuff.
But when you are, like
comes in and someone visits, then they're like, whoa, look, you are a stud.
Like
you
when Kuharski comes in and immediately compliments your physique, it feels good.
Exactly.
He doesn't see you every day.
Yeah. He's like, hey, I'm just taking a video over here.
Pay no attention. Pay no attention to the man with the camera.
But I was like stunned. I was like, okay, I know everybody's talking about he slimmed down. But not only is he slimmed down, let me tell you something. Jeffrey Simmons is in line right now to have a monster year. I'm going to give you that hot take off one freaking practice.
Okay.
But I've watched Jeffrey Simmons practice every single year. I mean, this is the first camp that I'm not covering on a daily basis with the Titans. I've covered all his camps, all his practices, and all that stuff. And, he's been a great player, a good player, a very good player, whatever. He has put himself in position to have a monster year because he is visibly, noticeably quicker. There is no question that changing his body like this has helped him. Now, there is certainly the question of – do you sacrifice any power in that? Based on yesterday, as he's making Titans offensive linemen look like children, I don't think so. So, again, I don't want to overhype this. It's one guy. But, you know, we've spent a lot of time on this show, certainly on this station, but I think in Nashville media at large too, criticizing him, rightfully so on some things. And the thing with Andrew last year was absolutely ridiculous. And some of his social media stuff is ridiculous. And he's not a full-fledged in every way perfect leader. I'm just telling you, I don't question the work he did this offseason after watching him yesterday, and I think he might be one of those guys who gets, you know, who really makes some noise this year in the NFL. Then talk to him afterward, and there were some interesting things in this little conversation here that we can get into on a few different topics, including leading.
We want guys on the field that can rush the passer. I think we're doing a great job of rotating guys to be able to have that versatility, especially with Arden. You know, Arden been rushing inside his whole career. San Fran, Jacksonville. So now to be able to come inside and, you know, quite frankly, I mean, I think probably every game last year that they know I'm getting a slot. Now it's like I got a guy backside, you know, no matter if it's Sweat or Arden. And, you know, that's one of the things I've been honing in on Sweat. Like, everything got to be faster for you. It's year two. The game should slow down a little bit for you. Now, go win. Same thing with Arden. Arden know that if he getting a one-on-one, I don't – like, I'm not being nice to Arden. And that, we talked about that personally. We talked about it in the offseason that I have to push him because we know he's going to be inside with me. I'm going to need him to be able to go win on one-on-ones. Vice versa. If he get a slot, he can count on me to go win on one-on-one. So.
How is being slimmed down paying off for you?
I feel great, man. It's like I said, kind of, you know, you hear it every year, like, it's the best shape that guys been in, that come in into the season and say, this is the best shape I've been in my life. But, like, chewing on it, like, this is probably the best I've felt all my years of playing football. And, you know, it's just the healthy side of it, you know. I feel light on my feet. I'm able to do things that I used to do, you know, when I was a little lighter. And now I just feel like I got kind of the juice back in my steps and stuff in that nature. So when I'm able to feel that way, when I'm able to feel that and be able to move how I want to move, but also, y'all saw we were doing inside run, I'm also still know that I'm doing everything I need to do to stay strong and keep my strength. I'm able to sit in there on a 700-pound double team when you got JC and Zyler in there. So it's like one of the things where you could, you know, I feel great. And that's what my goal was this offseason, to come in, stay healthy for my team, and, you know, be the best I could be.
Mentally, are you any different at all?
My mentality never changes. You know, when I step on the football field, it's a kill mindset. Like I said, in the middle of the plays, we kind of talk about it after the play, but Zyler and them know, Peter and them know, it's no hard feeling. But in the between other lines is not FU, but like it's football. But my mindset, man, is I have one in the mindset. I don't care who it is, who across from me, line them up, let's play football.
That was Jeffrey Simmons yesterday.
Yeah, so I thought some interesting stuff about not being nice to Arden anymore, which I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, like were you nice to him before? I've got people already saying, you know, K-Dodd, you just jinxed everything. I understand. And I also get this. Jared on the YouTube chat is asking about what's the offensive line? Your professional being the offensive line. Oh, so this means the offensive line is buns again. Well, look, I think Kevin Zeitler, he's old enough that it's, you know, at some point you're going to fall off. So, I mean, that's possible. Kevin Zeitler is a very good football player. He has been a very good football player in this league. He's having some trouble with Jeff Simmons. Peter Skoronski, I think, looks good out there. I think he's at least going to be a solid player for the Titans this year. And I think it might have been the last rep of ones. I mean, Jeff Simmons just bowled him over. But it was kind of like, it wasn't like straight on bull rush. It was like because he made this little move and then he sort of sidestepped him and dropped him at the same time. So I'm not saying this doesn't mean bad things for the offensive line. It could. But also, like, we have seen Jeff Simmons play at a high level, right? Yes. Like, even before I saw this, I would have told you that's the best football player on the team. That's what he is. He's the best football player on the team. So I just think he stands out, and I think what he's done, if this whole conversation about Jeff Simmons got to get more sacks, if that's a real priority for the team, and that's what they need. They need him to finish more plays and be more than just a guy who pushes the pocket and helps others make plays. Well, he has done the right things to make that happen. I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to get 12 sacks this year, but he has done the right things to give him a little extra quickness on that first step and a little bit more ability to be agile and use that against people. So I would be optimistic if I was a Titans fan right now about Jeffrey Simmons and all the other stuff that's happened. It happened. He hasn't been perfect, but I also do think sometimes maybe people go a little overboard with the Simmons criticisms. When you take everything into account.
I would agree with that. Now, I also, again, I've said this before, and I'll say it now, particularly if, you know, what you're telling me is true and he's in really good shape. I don't want to hear a word about double teams this year. I don't want to hear that phrase come out of his mouth.
No doubt.
This year. Like, it is time. It's time to get out there and play at an elite level. And we have seen him do it at times before. Frankly, it's been a minute since we've seen him do it. So, look, I hope everything you're saying, like, if you're a Titans fan, you need it. Like, you need Sweat and Simmons, that combo, to be really good. But specifically with Simmons, you need him to be a dominant player. So let's go see it. That's where I'm at with Simmons. All that sounds great. And, you know, I have no doubt, and really have never had any doubt, that Jeffrey Simmons works hard and that he is motivated and he wants to be great. And now he has changed his body to a point where there's more quickness to it. So that's awesome. All that sounds great. Let's go see it. I don't really want any of the excuses this year for double teams and what's around him. Let's go see it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. Like any good interior defensive lineman gets double teamed, unless, you know, some of these defenses have too many guys, and so you have to make tough choices. And unfortunately for Jeff, the Titans still don't necessarily have that many guys who are going to make other teams make tough choices. He's the obvious choice. And I'm suspecting that if he's staying healthy and he's in this kind of shape and starts the season out, if he wasn't going to get double teamed by anyone, the way he'll play, that'll guarantee it. Is he going to get enough help? Because it still is. He is the guy. He's the one who's paid the money and all that stuff. But that is still a huge question. Like, is Sweat going to be more disruptive and effective and impactful this year? Arden Key is Arden Key. You know, I mean, Arden Key is Arden Key. It was interesting yesterday, some of the stuff they were doing with Arden Key lining up actually inside of Jeff.
Yeah.
So they're trying different things. But that's still, like, is there enough help? And if there isn't, I agree. When it comes down to it, he's the guy. I mean, he's the guy who has the star contract, the star status. So he's just got to do it, and I agree. The excuses when it doesn't happen have long ago fallen on deaf.
Well, and he doesn't have to win every time. Like, you're not going to beat the double team every time. I think we all know that. But,
sure,
you know, the best defensive linemen in this league get double teamed, and they find a way to overcome it. So, need to see more of that from Jeffrey Simmons this year. But everything you said is great. That's awesome. Like, if you're a Titans fan, that is music to your ears that he looks the way that he looks right now. So, you love to hear it. Now then, of course, the follow-up is, what exactly does that mean for the offensive line? You saw something else from the offensive line yesterday that we'll get into coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. .5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser. Souls for the 615 to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. You can help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, just visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615, sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for their handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Joe, when the pads come on, as we know, that's when we really start to take a look at offensive linemen, defensive linemen, how things are going in the trenches. And apparently, a pretty intriguing matchup yesterday at Titans practice as it relates to the offensive line and defensive line. What did you see yesterday at Titans practice?
Well, overall, I would say, because there's definitely a lot of questions about the offensive line. Overall, one thing I would say is I thought Dan Moore looked pretty good at left tackle. But the interesting thing is a lot of the matchups were Dan Moore against Femi Oladejo, which is like, it's like, so if Dan Moore looks good, yeah, he's going against a rookie who's barely started to play. I mean, I guess if you flip it around, if Oladejo gets the better of him, you certainly could be the optimist and say, oh, man, did they get themselves a gem? But it's probably not what you want. I would say, take it to just Oladejo. he looks. Someone on the text line mentioned that someone on another show, you know, said he looks really raw, long way away from interproductive pass rusher. Craig and JC. Yes, that would be my take too. I would agree. He looks skinny. You know, he looks like a rookie, and it looks like he's got to come up with some more to add to his bag at this point, which is not a great thing for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, you know, Jeff Simmons looks great. He's got Arden Key. We'll see. You know, sweat has got to be, I think, a big part of this. But Oladejo probably is going to play quite a bit, and I think on a lot of teams he wouldn't play a lot because he's a rookie and he's developing all this stuff. Dan Moore did handle him, no problem. So, good for Dan Moore. You definitely want to see that. I think if you had a choice with the overall, you know, goodness of this team, for the overall benefit of this team, you would choose Dan Moore to be able to handle Oladejo. Right? Again, unless Oladejo is just the freak part duh,
right.
25 years later, probably not going to be the case, okay? So, I thought he looked fine. It's just – and then there were times when he also went up against Arden Key, looked fine. I think for the most part, other than – and they definitely threw, again, like I said, some pressures at them that made it even kind of hard to tell because it was like they just were outnumbered. But overall, I thought that he looked pretty solid. He looks to me small sample size, but I think this kind of goes along with what others are saying. Like he's certainly going to be an upgrade to some extent. To what extent, I don't know. When he goes against the top guys in the NFL, some of the great players he's going to see this year, I don't know. I think he's probably going to take some L's here and there. But I don't think it's not going to be Turnstile City, would be my guess. So that's a good thing.
Well, that's definitely a good thing. And because, frankly, at the tackle spot the last few years, we know it's been Turnstile City way too much out there. Now, you know, in terms of like what you learn from a matchup, I don't know that a worse one exists than Dan Moore and Oladejo.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, it just, like,
no, don't play each other.
And I think the expectations that we've talked about with Oladejo are already pretty low for a second round pick. Like, look, a second round pick, most years we'd be talking about, hey, he needs to come in and start and be productive for you immediately. Of course, I want to see that from Oladejo, but from the moment they drafted him, we've talked about that. Kind of feels like more of a project here. Now, I will say, you know, if you're a Titans fan out there that's listening and you say, wait a minute, Brian Callahan a few days ago just said that Oladejo was past where he thought he would be. Like, what does this all mean if he's just getting handled by Dan Moore out there? So, I don't know.
Dan Moore Pro Bowl.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I mean, look, you bring up the pass rushers that – the Titans are going to see this year. You know, one thing that I've probably heard a little bit too much of in the Dan Moore discourse this offseason was, well, just look at the pass rushers he's going up against the AFC North. It's like, yeah, I get it. He's going up against Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson and TJ Watt. It's not fun. You still have to play some of those guys, even if you're not in the AFC North, right?
Yeah, so for sure.
You're going to see Myles Garrett this year. You're going to see Max Crosby this year with the Raiders. Like, you're going to see these guys, and he has to be able to block some of those guys.
Well, by the way, when you see those guys, if you are an offensive tackle in this league and you see any of the names you just mentioned, you're getting help. Because
yes.
They'll beat any offensive tackle one-on-one. So, I mean, well, I shouldn't say
unless you're
any,
like prime Trent Williams,
yeah,
you're getting some help.
Any with rare exceptions. Like the team that can try to block those guys with one, that team has a tremendous luxury. Now I'm getting flashbacks to, my God, that was 2023, right, in Cleveland, when they actually did try to block.
Oh, yeah.
Garrett at times with one, and I'm like, hey, Vrabes, are you watching this? Are you watching the same game I'm doing? What, did they have, like 90 yards of offense in that game?
That was one of the worst games I think I've ever watched. Wasn't that same game Deshaun Watson threw a ball like 30 yards backwards? That was fun.
It was.
Yep.
And yet he still won that game. And
he
it
did.
Was like, well, maybe Deshaun's going to be all right after all, Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland. I
mean, was that the highlight of Deshaun Watson's Browns career?
That was
career?
Pretty much the peak of his career.
Yeah.
With the Browns. But yeah, like you're going to get help when you play those guys anyway. So it's almost like you shouldn't even give that excuse to a guy like him because not that I watched all those snaps. But I'd be very surprised if there wasn't at least a running back chip you know, when those guys were lined up in front of him. So, yeah, look, I he looked good yesterday. He'll see, you know, they're going to – these joint practices will shed more light on some things. But I also – I do think that you wanted to see – I would say I came away, man, I want to see the rookie do a little more. He just kind of like – he just – get out of here, dude. Get out of here, kid, you know. So I do wonder if Oladejo – now – can Oladejo set the edge? Can he be solid? Can he get – you know, Harold Landry had stretches of his career too where he really wasn't getting that many sacks and he wasn't quite the pass rusher they were home for, but it's like, well, he's a pro. He's solid. He does everything right. He stops the run. He's going to be on the field. Is Oladejo ready to do all that? I don't know.
So what you're telling me is not a great day for the rookies yesterday. The first-round pick and second-round pick, a little bit of a struggle yesterday.
Yes. It was a – welcome to the NFL rookie. Here's the first day in pads type of day.
That happens.
It does.
We'll see if they respond to it.
Yeah.
Femi Oladejo is going to be throwing people around today.
I will say one rookie who I like the looks of is DK, man. The guy can he can move. Chim DK. Don't know, you know, how often he'll be involved. Can he really get on the field right now in an NFL game and do something? I don't know, but you see there's a little bit of different level of acceleration there when he gets the ball in his hands that you like to see.
And boy, we know that receiving corps needed some of that for a while.
Yes.
So we'll see what that ends up looking like. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our friend Stilly went on a bit of a tirade yesterday, and he brought up something with a part of this organization that we've talked about before that I wonder if in this specific instance it's fair game. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.